All right, we are happy to be listening to part two of the message we began to hear last week from Sister Nona Freeman. The title of the message is Days God Has Given Us. Days God Has Given Us. What a unique title. This message was originally made or broadcasted in 1991, but what a message and what a title it is. She was talking about taking advantage of the day that the Lord has given us. One of the comments she made last week was, get out of anxiety alley. Get yourself out of anxiety alley. I'm not going to go any further. We want to hear part two of it, but we want to thank Brother Jacob Roseberry for helping us with a technical aspect and making sure our messages are uploaded. Let me go ahead and begin to play Sister Nona Freeman, part two of Days God Has Given Us.
Just taking it as it comes can be such a blessing to you if you will just learn this lesson. And you start that day with rejoicing. And then my two favorite scriptures, these are the two scriptures that God gave me when Brother Freeman was involved in the accident. All I knew was that he was cut to pieces. That's all I knew. And God gave me these two scriptures. He put them in front of me. I had a vision, like billboards. The first one was Ephesians 5, verse 20. The first part of that verse, it says, giving thanks always for all things. Giving thanks always for all things. And I've just heard that my husband is cut to pieces. I don't know where he's cut. I don't know wherever he is cut happened or whatever. I don't know where he is. I don't know anything at all about him. But God gave me this verse of scripture, giving thanks always. Does that mean when your husband's cut to pieces? Yes. Whatever. Pull out a jaw tooth? Yes. Whatever. Giving thanks always for all things. That's what he said. It's in his word. But while I'm still looking at that, then he put another one in front of me. And that was Hebrews 13 and 15. And it says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God, which is our reasonable service, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And so I started saying, thank you, Jesus. My husband is cut to pieces. The tears flowing down my face. Now, there's been a lot of songs written about a sacrifice of praise. And I am pretty sure that most people don't even understand what it means. We can just so cheerfully sing, we bring a sacrifice of praise. And we don't even know what a sacrifice is. But now, when everything is fine with you and you're feeling pretty good and you praise God for that, that's no sacrifice. But when your world has crashed in around you and you don't know how you're going to take another step and you don't know how you're going to go on and you don't know what you're going to do next and everything seems like is gone and everything is upside down, you praise God then, that's a sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And so I began to praise the Lord for my husband cut to pieces. All right, there will be victory. And even though it got awful bad and stayed bad for a long time, I just kept on praising him. I just praised him for how bad it was. Thank you, Jesus. He doesn't look like he's going to make it through the night. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. He doesn't look like he's going to make it through the night. And everything the doctor told me, I praised him. The doctor said, Mrs. Freeman, there's been an epidemic of hepatitis and malaria in Kenya, and we can't give your husband any blood. And without blood, he only has a quarter of his blood supply, normal blood supply left. And without blood, he can't live. Thank you, Jesus. I put my hand over my mouth. Thank you, Jesus, the doctor says. I didn't do it out loud, but I'm saying it out loud for you so you can hear what I said. Thank you, Jesus, the doctor says, because of hepatitis and malaria rife in this country, he can't get any blood and he can't live without blood. Thank you, Jesus, he's only got a third of his blood, a fourth of his blood. And everything that doctor said, I thank God for it. I wish you'd try it sometime. It sure will change the way you feel. And when you start praising the Lord, you set an invisible force into motion. Hallelujah. It's like an invisible river. And you know what a river does when it's flowing? It pushes everything out of the way. And you get that river of praise going in every day, and you'll find what God will do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, could have spared his life. Only the Lord could have made that left arm work again. I never will forget when they took the cast off finally, and these three orthopedic specialist surgeons were standing around me, and they said, "Now be very brave. It's going to be an awful thing to see your husband's arm dangling lifeless, because every nerve was severed and every blood vessel, and so there's no way that this arm could ever work again." And I just, thank you, Jesus. The doctor says it's so. His arm's ever going to work again. Thank you, Lord. They say it's just going to dangle. And they took that. I thank God for everything they said, and they took that cast off, and he did this, and they said, "Now don't get excited, that's just a reflex." But the reflex didn't go away. And hallelujah. What can I do with this awful day I'm going through, Sister Freeman? You can praise God for it. That's what you can do. You thank God for it. Whatever happens, if you learn, if you ever once learn this, it makes life so much easier. I had a hard time learning. I just keep lapsing back and say, "Oh, Lord, oh, my, oh, oh." And I quit that. Whatever it is, whatever pain I get, I thank you, Jesus. I got this awful pain. Thank you, Lord, for this pain. I've praised things away that, I mean, that was it. I got rid of it by praising God for it. You see, I never had even noticed that the Bible says giving thanks always for all things. My mother raised me on "in everything give thanks." And I thought that meant hallelujah anyhow. You know, you just sort of praise God and say hallelujah once and that's it. I want to tell you about praise. Praise is not just a few words. When you start praising God with four problems, if you'll just keep on, there will come a point when your spirit shifts gears. And you will enter into a dimension of faith. The night that God told me to thank God for him cut to pieces, I praised the Lord for over an hour without stopping. I didn't slow up. The devil began to torment me because the devil, you know, he can come with such sneaky things. He said, "Yes, if this had to happen, why didn't it happen in some country where you're well known? This has happened in a country where the church has only been established here for 1 year, so there's not people that's going to stand by you and help you." And there was two missionaries there, and one of them's now dead, one injured. And my husband is cut to pieces, and everything was on my shoulders, and the devil was tormenting me, so I thought, "I know what to do. Thank you, Jesus. This happened in a country where we don't even know anybody, hardly, don't even know the rules and laws of this country. I don't know how I'll get that man, dead man's body down from up there in the mountains where it is to get it shipped back to America, as his wife had told me she wanted. I don't know how to do it, Lord, but I thank you, Jesus, because you know how, and I depend on you." And I want you to know, with that praising God, courage came, strength came. I had sort of collapsed in a chair with just when the impact of this news hit me, the death and my husband's condition and the other missionary hurt. I just sort of collapsed in a chair, but I sat there and praised God for over an hour. It was probably an hour and a half. I've got to get up and phone America, phone foreign missions, phone family, and let people know what has happened over here in Africa. But first, I praised God. And let me tell you, when I got through praising him, I was like a different person. I'm a scatterbrain. I'm always losing stuff, car keys and credit cards, you name it. But it may be praising God for this situation I was in. God turned me into a different kind of person, and he showed me exactly what to do step by step by step. There was a lot of money that the couples had brought over with them for building churches, offerings that had been raised in America, and they had it in the bank. And I don't know anything about the laws of that country. I don't know anything. But at daylight the next morning, I said, Francis, you've got to get ready. We've got to go to town. You must draw out all the money that's in the bank, except just leave the equivalent of $5 or $6 or $7 there. And so we did that because that was money for churches. And later I learned, and I didn't know why I did that, but later I learned that because of his death and the fact that they did not have a will, that the government would have taken that money if I had not. But see, God's always ahead of governments and the devil. Anything else you can think of, God is always ahead of it if you'll just learn to trust him. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. So the way to handle your days is with worship and with praise. Brother Freeman preached last night on worship, and it's such a powerful weapon that God has given us if we'll just learn. I've been traveling around preaching this quite a bit, and we were in a place, a town, I think it was Ohio, I don't remember, and I said, praise God for income tax and mooching kinfolks and impossible neighbors and flat tires. And when I said flat tires, they all said, yay! Well, I found out later the only industry in that town was a tire factory. So flat tires made them all happy. But let me tell you what, if you're a woman and you're driving and you're alone, except for the Lord being with you, he's always there. If you invite him, he's not an intruder. He won't force his way, but if you invite him, he's there. But then you thank God for it. I just got home from a trip, and there's the town where we live. Some of the church ladies were going to a neighboring town for an evening of prayer. They called it a prayer night. And so they said, come go with us, Sister Freeman. So I climbed in the van, and here I went. Well, we got about halfway there out in the woods where there's nothing or nobody, and we have a flat tire. And so our young driver just wanted to panic. I said, oh, no, 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 no. Let's thank God for this flat tire. Thank you, Jesus, for this flat tire. Thank you, Lord. We've had a flat out here. We don't even know whether we got a spare or not, but we thank you, Lord, for this flat tire. We thank you, Lord. We don't know whether we've got a spare or not. You can stop worrying. You hear me? You can stop worrying, praising God, worshiping him. Listen, you can't worry and praise at the same time. It's absolutely impossible. Of course, you do have to kind of watch your tone of voice, you know. You have to make it real praise. But anyway, back to the flat tire. They said, all right, now we've praised God. What do we do next? I said, well, you three young ladies get out and stand there back by there by that flat tire. No, us old ladies will just stay put right here in the van. And sure enough, here come a pickup and two young fellas, and they were just glad to change that tire. And we did have a spare. You see, the Lord will always make a way, but there's no need of panicking and going into, you know, God doesn't get any glory out of you going to pieces. You've got to learn to take things in stride. And if you learn to live one day at a time, it's a whole lot easier. A whole lot easier. Well, I had a little missionary friend that I was trying to help. She had some awful problems. And I said, come on, let's just thank God for this problem. So she said, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I said, stop. I said, your tone of voice is not right. That don't sound like thank you, Jesus, and hallelujah. Get that whine out of your voice and start praising God like you mean to praise God. That's the way to do it. Hallelujah. And so I've heard too many people say, well, I do praise God. Hallelujah. It's almost an insult. Almost an insult to the Lord. Watch your tone of voice. Hallelujah. We live such whiny lives, such negative, complaining lives. You know who the champion grumblers are? I've preached to congregations that did not know what they would fill their stomach with when they left that meeting. And they worshiped and they smiled and they praised God and they put everything they had into it. And we've all got so much that to them, they would consider you fabulously rich, the poorest person here. And what do we do with having so much? We grumble. We are the champion grumbles. grumblers in the world. We grumble about the weather. We grumble about politics. We grumble about restrictions. We grumble about laws. We always find something to grumble about. Listen to yourself. We had a friend in Africa. He was a precious man. And after God saved him, there was one little habit of his old days that he brought over with him, and that was grumbling. I mean, he just grumbled and mumbled, and they were so sweet. They were always trying to help us with something, and we had just moved into a different house, and they came to help us the whole day. And I just got a little idea, and so wherever he was working and whatever was happening, I was moving that little tape recorder all around. Well, late that afternoon, they said, well, guess we better go home. I said, well, just before you go home, I want you to hear this tape. Well, I'd played tapes for them of good singing and good preaching, and so they thought that's what it was going to be. And I turned that tape on, and the man didn't recognize his voice. And he said, who's that fella grumbling all the time? What are we listening to this for? I said, just keep listening. And then pretty soon he said, oh my Lord, is that me? Surely I didn't grumble like that. I said, all day long. All day long. You worked hard, but you was grumbling all the time. I've seen a lot of people that will do things for the Lord, you know. Oh, we had a bake sale. You just ought to have seen the cakes I bake. I'm nearly dead. Now, what benefit is it to do something for God and then grumble about it? Remember who you're working for. Remember who you're doing it for. Remember who you're living for. Hallelujah. Remember what it's all about. And make your days glorious. Yes. And even if some unfortunate things happen and some bad things happen, the glory will still be there because God will make you steady and give you strength. And this book says he'll not put more on you than you're able to bear. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We've lived so long by what we like and what we don't like until we don't really know how to enjoy life. We hem ourselves in. I've got a pitiful aunt. She's only 6 years older than I am. She decided a long time ago that she's afraid to go down her front steps, so she hasn't gone down her front steps in 20 years. And I'm just dreading the day that she thinks she can't get out the back door anymore. Because, I mean, she just keeps restricting her life. So I used to love to go and visit my friends, but now it makes my back hurt when I drive the car. And so I'm just going to cut back. And she's already cut back until she lives such a pathetic life, and there's no way to talk to her. You know, it's so sad. Don't restrict your life. Try and see what you can do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. God doesn't have a chance to lead some of us because we just say, well, I never could do that, and I don't know how I'm going to do that, and we just keep cutting back and cutting back. Don't do it. I tell you what, life is a beautiful experience. And you say, well, Sister Freeman, if you had my life, you wouldn't say so. I don't care what kind of a life. I've written a book about my mother called Shouting on the Hills. Unfortunately, I've sold out of those, but the thing that stood out to me about my mother, I mean, she had a hard life, and when my daddy walked off and left her with five little boys, 2 years, 4 years, 6 years, 8 years, and 10 years old, and you talk about child support, he saw to it that she got nothing of any of the assets that they had, and she simply had to trust God. But the thing that impressed me the most, she was a human being, and she would feel it for a little while, but the next thing I know, I'd hear her shouting, hear her praising God. And so she lived her life that way, and she did so much for God because she turned loose of the heartache. I held on to it longer than she did. And when she realized what I was doing, did I ever give a sermon? She said, honey, it's over and it's done with. She said, I feel so sorry for your dad, and I'm asking God to save him somewhere, sometime. I'm claiming his soul. But she said, in the meantime, there's work to be done for God. I'm not going to sit down and cry and grieve over my broken heart. I'm going to see what I can do for Jesus. She found quite a bit to do for Jesus. She went to New Mexico and opened up a work among the Navajo Indians. It's still going on today. Her youngest son has charge of it now and doing a tremendous job. And then when she was 63, she went to Africa. That's another thing. When you're getting older, hey, don't back up from life. It's just don't just look at something and say, well, I don't think I can do that. Try. Give it a try. See what you can do. If you'll just keep trying, you'll just keep on doing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And many times I've been aware that I had to do something that I didn't really want to do. But I found Jesus and me can handle almost anything. It's not me. I mean, if it was left up to me, it would never happen. But hey, I put him in control. And then it's just amazing how it goes. And when she's 63, she went to Africa. She applied to the board and they said, now, Mrs. Eastridge, I think you better let the young men go over there and do that missionary work. She said, is any young men trying to go? And they said, well, no, not yet. So she went home and sold her car and went to Africa and did a tremendous work. She built two churches, supervised it. Of course, some of the idiosyncrasies of getting older, you know, it does disturb some of our facilities perhaps. But we ended up with an enormous baptistry because she thought that thing looks too little. So she had the workman move over the markers my husband had put there. And he'd go by once in a while, but we live 420 miles away, so he couldn't be there all the time. But the church got built, and it was a beautiful church and a great testimony to the Lord. And then she went to a country where this gospel has never been preached and opened up a whole new country where today there are thousands that serve the Lord and there are thriving churches and built another church. And that one, we didn't help her very much on at all. She was far away. She said, Lord, am I too old to build another church? And he said, I change not. I change not. We need to remember, he changes not. She said, all right, Lord, if you mean for me to build another church, let somebody send me an offering for the building fund. They didn't even have a building fund. People she was preaching to were desperately poor. The address was wrong. Her name wasn't spelled right. And the envelope wasn't sealed, but she got a $5 bill in an envelope from America, and a little note with it said, put this in your building program, building fund. And she said, all right. She started with $5 and built a church that is today a lighthouse right beside the main highway. God will do amazing things for us if we could just learn how to handle every day a little bit better. I've got this sweet friend in Oklahoma City that every time he gets up, he says, good morning, Jesus. What you and me going to do today? I like that because he does have something for us to do. Sometimes our minds are so preoccupied with what we want to do, we forget. This is the day the Lord has made. And he doesn't let any of us just live through our days. Brother Freeman has a sister that's in a nursing home, just turned 89. And you'd think her life is about over. She said, I have made it my calling to cheer up. These people bring these old people here and they whine and cry and think it's the end of the world. And I get around, I say, honey, this is a wonderful place. I just love living here. And she said, when I get through with them, I give them a different kind of an attitude. We went and brought her home with us for 4 days, and the lady at the desk said, please don't keep her long. You don't know how we need her around here. She fills a big gap here, but she wasn't satisfied. She wasn't doing enough for the Lord. And one day, she's always has a sweet way of talking to everybody, and there's a lady that come to wash their hair for them. And so she could tell she wasn't feeling too good. What's wrong, honey? And she'd come on a day that wasn't even the day she's supposed to come, but she saw his sister and said, let me wash your hair for you. But so she just submitted and let her wash it and got through with the hair and was sitting there, and she began to tell about her troubles. Her husband had treated her so badly and stolen everything that she had. I took everything out of her house. She'd come home from work to an empty house, and she's got this little girl and she doesn't know what what she's going to do. And so in her little way, she began to try to, his sister began to try to explain the Lord. And finally, she just turned around and saw the little girl. She said, honey, wouldn't you like for Jesus to come move inside you? And the little girl said, yes, that would be nice. She said, all right, I'm going to pray for you. And she prayed for the little girl. And God filled this little girl, a Catholic, with the Holy Ghost. And as her mother watched it, she said, oh, what is it? Is she beside herself? Said, no, Jesus just moved inside her heart. When he moves inside your heart, you'll get excited too. She said, well, let him move in. I want him in. And she prayed her through to the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you what, there's something to do for Jesus every day. Old or young, there's no place to quit. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I hope you wake up with a different attitude. Now, some of us wake up grumpy. Now, I'm a night person. It's hard for me. I've had to teach myself to go on to bed so I've got strength for the next day. Because my writing, somebody asked me last night if I wrote in church. I said, not much. Once in a while, I might make a reminder to myself. But most of my inspiration comes 2-3 o'clock in the morning. Very little of it comes in the daytime or in a service. But you see, here's the thing that we have to learn. And I had to learn, even though at first I was never in focus before 11 o'clock. I could get up at 6 a.m. or 5 a.m., whatever. It didn't matter, whatever time. I learned how to get up without being grumpy. You see, the nighttime people have a hard time getting up. And then, of course, then again, there's these early birds that just love to get up early, and I never can understand it. I'm a little bit, not quite like one of my friends. Her husband says, I wish you'd get up with me in the morning and watch the sun rise. She said, it's got up every morning without me. I think it can make it again. I don't think I have to help it get up. Let me just see it after it gets up in the sky a little ways. We are all different, but let me tell you, God has given every one of us the treasure of another day. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I hope as you leave here today, you try to find something to do for him. Americans don't write letters very much, but you know, there's people that need a little letter of encouragement, just a little note, a phone call. If you can't do anything else, pray for someone beside yourself. It's so easy to get selfish. It's so easy just to be like the man that knelt to pray, Lord, bless me, my wife, my son John, his wife, us four no more. We have that kind of spirit. Whether we say those words or not, our problems are so big that we forget that the rest of the world is suffering. I don't know what all is going to happen to America, but we better learn to get in touch with God. We've got a bad record. We have slaughtered. A judge in Pennsylvania a few weeks ago said, he called it legal execution. We have slaughtered the innocent, unborn, more of them than we've ever lost soldiers in all the wars that we have ever fought in America. A nation that destroys their unborn cannot have the blessing of God upon them. As a matter of fact, when the war began, I didn't know how to pray. And I talked to the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't know how to pray. How can God bless us? How can God help us in battle with our track record? It's so bad. And he gave me a scripture. He gave me the scripture where he was giving the children of Israel Canaan land. He said, not for the goodness of your heart and not because you're righteous, but because of the evil of the people of the land. And God let me know that I was to pray for the allies because they were coming against an evil even greater than our evil. And for that reason, God gave us the victory. But America is heading for some days that's going to test the mettle of man, woman, and child, the judgment of God, and don't think you're going to fly away, oh glory. There's too many people singing, I fly away, and shouting, because they think we're going to get out of everything. Well, we're going to escape the wrath of God. Thank God for that. But we are not going to escape the things that's going to come on our country, all of them. And we're going to have to learn to give God every day. God, I give you this day. Help me serve you throughout this day. Protect me throughout this day. Put your blood over me today. Let me stay under the name of Jesus. Let me walk with your power and your spirit with me every day. Listen, there's some of these panty waist Christians that's just making it from service to service. Honey, when it really gets tough, when the rubber really meets the road, it gets down to the nitty gritty, you're going to fall by the wayside unless you start now. This is the day the Lord has made. Sufficient unto the day, the Lord said, is the evil there are. He said, take no thought of tomorrow. Tomorrow will take thought for itself. You give God every day. And every day is a treasure. Hallelujah. Every day is a treasure. You see, and we're not getting the job done that He saved us to do. People are being born and are dying faster than we're reaching them with the gospel. May I tell you why? It's because our days do not belong to Him. If we today, just the ones under the sound of my voice, if you today will give God your days and be willing to do whatever He wants you to do and surrender yourself totally to Him, you can make a difference in your town and in your community. God has shown me a vision of people struggling and striving and pushing, trying to get inside our churches. And I know that day's going to come. I don't know what's going to bring it, but we need to start working now. He didn't save you just because He wants to take you to heaven. If He hasn't saved you yet, He wants to. But He didn't save you just to take you to heaven. He saved you to be a witness. Well, Sister Freeman, I'm just not good at that. It's not what you can do, it's what He will do. This is a true story. A lawyer came to one of our churches. The pastor was hoping this little simple-minded boy would behave himself and, you know, not act up. But when the altar call was made, the little simple-minded boy went over to the lawyer. He said, "Sir, do you want to go to heaven?" He said, "I don't think so." "Sir, you don't want to go to heaven?" He said, "No." He said, "Sir, think about it. Don't you want to go to heaven?" "No." Well, he didn't know what else to say. He said, "Well, go to hell then." He wasn't swearing. He's just telling the only alternative. If you don't want to go to heaven, that's where you're going. To hell. Well, the pastor is just, that kid. But he didn't want to interrupt, and the man walked out. But 2 o'clock the next morning, he phoned the pastor. He said, "Could you meet me at the church, and could you pray for me?" That little half-witted boy said something that shook me to my shoes last night. I haven't been able to get away from his words. "Go to hell then. Go to hell then. Go to hell." He said, "I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven in spite of what I said." And God saved that man. Now that little half-witted boy might not have used much wisdom, but he was a witness. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And friend, if you're not a witness, if you don't give witnessing a priority in every day, you're not doing the will of God. Oh, hallelujah. God has given you the treasure of another day. Don't lose the vision. Don't lose the purpose that He gave it to you for. All we think about is what we wanted to do and what we didn't want to do and what we like and what we don't like. You better move out of that rut, honey. You better get into the dimension of reaching for every soul. You can reach with prayer. You can reach with love. You better reach with love. They're not going to listen to what you say if you don't love. Love opens the door. It was a loving witness that brought my mother into the Pentecostal church when she'd been an invalid 6 years. That lady said to her, "If you'll just go to our little prayer meeting," it wasn't even a church in the town. All they had was a prayer meeting every week. "You'll just go to my prayer meeting. We'll pray for you and God will heal you." She didn't worry about the 14 doctors that had given her just a few months to live. But they persuaded my mother. They went to her home, did the washing, hung it out in the West Texas sunshine, got dried quick, and they ironed it back when we ironed all the clothes. And then they helped her get bathed and dressed and carried her to the car and took her to the prayer meeting, and she walked out well. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I challenge you to go out there and tell people, come to our church and God will heal you. Come to our church and God will save you. Come to our church and God will solve your problems. Use the precious gift of a day that He's given you the way He wants you to. God bless you.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Everyone, whew, I hope you're feeling the same anointing that we're feeling here in the office. What a message. I know we've laughed together. We've cried together. And again, what a witness, what a voice that we heard in Sister Nona Freeman. I made all kinds of notes, but I'll be honest with you, I'm not even looking at these notes. This has stirred me. This has gotten a hold of me. Who knew that this message was going to go from the day that God has given us an opportunity to do something, and at the very end you heard, we've got to be a witness. We are the voice. We're the voice that the Lord is going to use to save our world. Praise God. You know, as Sister Nona Freeman was finishing, I wrote a few notes here. Toughness. What a toughness, a resilience, and a strength. They don't make them like they used to. We've heard that saying. They don't make them like they used to, Sister Helen. Sister Helen sent in a text message, by the way, saying, Brother Vic, she preached that message here in Ontario in 1992. She was here preaching that very same message. But what I want to say is this, they do make them like they used to. It's called the Holy Ghost. We have the same Holy Ghost, the same anointing that Sister Freeman had. We have it today, church, and we can do exactly the same things that she talked about. Praise God. Let Jesus move into your heart, she said here. We need to be that witness. Me and Jesus, we can do anything. Am I too old to build another church? Praise God. I'm going to just read a few of these notes. When you get older, don't back up in life. That's the first excuse people give. You know that again, I just mentioned to Helen. I'm thinking about my mother, Elisa, who are a little bit older than us, but they've told me the same thing. Mijo, I want to do something else for God. I want to knock on some doors. I want to be a witness. I want to testify to somebody. Let me read a few more notes here. I've learned to praise things away, Sister Nona Freeman said. I've learned how to praise things away. Oh, church, let's get a hold of this. Let's get a hold of this because it's not just about us. We're going to need to learn how to climb the top of our mountain so that we can shout out loud and clear so that other people will be able to hear our voice and begin to call the voice, the souls that the Lord is going to bring in to salvation. I'm looking at some more notes here. When you learn how to do this, she said, you're going to enter into a new dimension of faith. And you know, it's something when we hear this coming from a voice of experience, someone who's learned through all these trials and tribulations, there is an integrity, a truth that is being carried in her voice. Hey, I want this, everybody. And I know those of you that are listening to this, you want this as well. I know there's some of you out there that are dealing with many situations, kind of what Sister Nona Freeman was talking about. You know what? Let's get a hold of this for each other and let's build each other's faith. Praise God. You know, before we go tonight, why don't we just join together in prayer right now and just ask God to give us this anointing, make sure it sinks deep within us so we get a hold of this and we begin to live this on a daily basis. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for allowing us to hear this voice, Sister Nona Freeman. Maybe 20, 30 years ago, but the anointing is still alive and well. And we want this, Lord. We need this today, especially in the day and age that we're living in, Lord God. Oh, we need to enter into that new dimension of faith that Sister Freeman spoke about, Lord God, for ourselves, for our families, for our community, for our church, for our loved ones, and for lost souls that we still haven't even met. But you're sending them, Lord. You're sending them our way in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. I hope you're feeling this anointing, church. When I hang up this call, if you want to get into your closet of prayer, go ahead and do that because God is doing something. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Everyone, I'm going to go ahead and hang up this call, but keep praying. If you feel this, get a hold of it. Get a hold of it. Get a hold of it in the name of Jesus. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.